And welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, a day
143.
That was very in sync, Mike. Clearly only just sent the email, haven't you?
No, sent it at 6:30.
I was still up 6:30.
Tonight, yeah. Not this morning.
Oh, sorry.
I was up at 6:30.
Hmm?
I was up at 6:30.
Yes, but you're always up at 6:30. It's unusual if I'm up at 6:30. Obviously, only on my way to bed. Good evening, Jonathan.
You know what we should try?
What?
iPhone.
No, that's too much. Anyway, it's iMac at the moment. Just saying. Good morning, Debbie. How are we all doing? It's getting warm, Jonathan. Too warm. It's 21 degrees, which is probably not that warm for most of you. But in this country, that means oppressive heat. And we've got oppressive heat. And blue clouds, black clouds, white clouds, you name it. It's hideous. Hello, Paul.
It's getting very humid, Johnny.
Have I bought my iMac yet? No, not yet, Jonathan. Latest on the RAM.
Have you bought yours, Jonathan?
Jonathan's only just bought his laptop.
Yes, but
he'll talk himself into it.
He's considering an iMac.
Give him a couple of days.
If work from home continues.
What do you mean, if? There's talk of a second wave in December. They're actually planning for it. So I think working from home is a given.
Well, for Stuart is not.
You had to buy car insurance today. Oh, that's unbelievable. Did they give you a discount?
£218 cheaper.
That's not bad.
Was ours £218 full stop?
No. Didn't I pay about 180?
I can't remember.
I think my insurance is less than that in total, Jonathan, just saying. But having said that, you know, my car basically pulled by a horse. Did I buy the iMac yet? This is the number one question. No, not yet. Right, the latest on the RAM. The company that I buy the RAM from has updated their system and all of the models of iMac are in there. At the moment, it's saying the maximum is 128. But obviously, they've not had a chance to get the model on their test benches and test it yet. So I'm waiting for that. So it's not going to be until early next week at the earliest, which is fine because there would be nothing worse than having a shiny new iMac sat there and being too busy to tinker with it. And if you remember, let's think what we got before Friday. We've got two show Friday. We've got two show Saturday. There's a slight matter of Jonathan's here, but never mind.
One, two, nine.
And then on Thursday, I've got the Affinity Publisher thing. Then two show Friday and then two show Saturday. But we do have a laughable holiday coming up. And the best way to deal with a laughable holiday is to have some tech to toy with. So I don't have to think about things like the garden and stuff like that. So our laughable holiday is what, 3 weeks away? Is it three weeks?
I think it is, isn't it?
When's bank holiday this year?
No, it's 4 weeks. Three and a half.
3.5 weeks away. There you go. So we're finishing for a week on the 28th. Now, they couldn't get it here until the 19th anyway, which is the week before. So that could fit in really nicely as long as we work around the bank holiday, which is Monday the 31st, because they won't deliver on Monday the 31st. So that's the state of play. No panic, being very calm at the moment. Very calm. We'll see how long that lasts. What will happen first? Mike to sign up to set up or the iMac getting bought?
It's going to be a close run thing, Johnny.
That depends, because at the moment, Jonathan, the big thing that Mike hasn't got access to is Ulysses. So it depends when he next needs to use Ulysses, I think.
How's Downey doing?
Downey's fixed, thanks to Paul. Good evening, Paul. Paul sent me on a mail from SetApp to say that the developer had issues, which is really weird to me. I don't use Little Snitch, but if you do, maybe the thing needs to call home to work because it just stopped working. I did need to reinstall mine, though. So I did a reinstall, and I'm happy to report it's back working again. So thank you very much for that, Paul. I probably wouldn't have tried it for another day or so. Did I get the 9to5 Mac link? I probably did, but I've literally only just looked at my mail just before we went live. So I will have to check everything far more detailed than that. Kim, I thought of you all today. I had a doctor's appointment that ran very long. On the way home, had to laugh because I thought to myself, I could do with a lady pipe. Oh, Kim, there's a birthday present sorted out right there.
Paul sent you a panda pic on Twitter.
Now, Paul, I actually did click that in the email and it didn't open properly. So I'm actually going to have to go into Twitter, which...
Break the habit of a lifetime.
Yeah, Twitter. Right, got it. So, thought you might enjoy this picture. I don't know why it didn't open in a browser. Oh, that's adorable. Oh, there's two of them. Oh, two red pandas. Look at that.
His little panda face.
That is gorgeous. Thank you so much. I do love me a red panda, don't I? They're like little cats. Oh, they're so cute. I've actually seen two red pandas in the fur, as it were. Spent 2.5 hours sitting there waiting to get some decent pictures of them. Mind you, I did that in London. I was down there taking some exams and I was staying in Regent's College, which is a residential college in the middle of Regent's Park. And the zoo, London Zoo, is in Regent's Park. It's that the park's that big, you need to drive to it. You'd be all day walking. But I drove up there and at the time they had a panda. So I goes in. I am not interested in anything but the panda. So finds the panda, sits down. Panda's asleep in the tree. And I'm like, how can it sleep in a tree? But it was asleep in the tree. And I sat there for 4 hours. And I'm thinking, I really should be back at college revising, but this is a one-off with the panda, so I'll stick with it. Anyway, he did actually venture down the tree in the end, I'm pleased to report. And I did get some pictures. Oh, he was gorgeous. So, so cute. Masks being safe. I've got a picture for you. Now, hopefully you'll see it. It's the Daily Mail, and I wouldn't normally send you the Daily Mail, but there's a fabulous picture, the best picture that I could find of this chicken McNugget was in the mail. So I'm going to send it to you. Masks are safe, they said. Bearing in mind, this was a 6-year-old child. Masks, not safe. Not when you bake them into the McNuggets, they're not. I only hope they cooked the McNuggets sufficiently that whatever biological material was on the mask was nuked. Can you imagine? The child ate it. I mean, we'd be beside ourselves if it was Lola.
Yes.
But a human kid in this circumstance, unbelievable.
I'll tell you a story about the Daily Mail.
Go on.
I was on Workplace today, our social network at work. And somebody had posted a link to an article on the Daily Mail site. Now, I don't normally go on the Daily Mail
site. No, me neither. Madness lies that way.
But it was an article about if you've lost your job, particularly with the pandemic, then tricks, you know, tips to for job hunting. So spruce up your CV, blah, blah, blah. And in this Daily Mail article, there was a photograph and a few tips from somebody who worked at AZ who was doing an apprenticeship, because it was talking about apprenticeships, because apparently the Chancellor's put money aside for apprenticeships or something. Now, I thought apprenticeships were for kids, but this woman's 37 and she's had two kids and she's gone back to work and she's on this apprenticeship scheme. So I clicked the link, I thought I'll go and read it. And because I've got... Chrome synced across all my devices because I'm logged in. It says you're using an ad blocker. So it wouldn't let me.
Oh dear.
Because the thing is with the ad block on the Daily Mail side, it won't even let you, because with 9to5 Mac, it just says, you know, not this time.
Ah, it says not this time, but after you've read about four or five articles, it gets really sniffy and won't let you read anymore.
Oh.
So I have that automatically set via Browser Fairy to open in Chrome Canary. It's the only one I don't have an ad blocker in.
I've got an ad blocker in Firefox, so I can use that.
Firefox?
But I ended up using Edge.
Firefox, I have got an ad blocker, and it doesn't mind me reading the Daily Mail site. Mm. It's as though Firefox just bypasses all that. Which, you know, great feature, you can read the Daily Mail. Yeah, maybe not.
So here we are, admitting that we're Daily Mail readers.
I am not a Daily Mail reader. No, you see, Jonathan's quite right. I made the mistake, the fatal mistake, of going to the Daily Mail site in a browser that I didn't have an ad blocker in. I couldn't find the story, Jonathan. I'm like, well, I can see the headline. Where's the rest of it? There was video ads. There was talk about sensory overload.
It's just half naked women down that right hand side.
Oh, the column of shame, you mean? What gets me with that is they had a picture in there of somebody. I can't remember who's who, so I won't name names. But it was somebody famous. But it was their daughter, and I didn't realise that their daughter was famous at all. In fact, I don't think she is. So she's probably late 20s, maybe about 30. And they've got an entire page dedicated to this woman. But the thing was, she was out walking with her personal assistant. Now, I'm doing air quotes here. Personal, not personal assistant. Personal trainer.
Personal trainer.
And I looked at this woman and I thought, okay, she's not skinny. Not by any means was she skinny. But she would have been fine. But for the fact she had this outfit on. And, you know, like, I don't think it was an all-in-one. It must have been in two halves. But like a trouser suit, a pantsuit type thing. But instead of the waist being on the waist or fractionally higher, like Simon Cowell, it was literally up to her boobs, which made her look about 15 months pregnant. And I'm staring at this thing and it said, the stunning daughter. And I thought, pardon? Then I thought, no. What have you got to do at that stage, Mike? You have to take a reality check.
Google.
Don't believe what the Daily Mail are saying. No, you scroll down to the comments and it was like, are you for real? That's a personal trainer. I would not want to be seen. I thought, that's it. Sanity restored. Daily Mail, they're all off on one.
Anthony has no problems reading Safari. Reading the Daily Mail on Safari.
Oh. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I don't think I have an ad blocker.
I haven't got
Safari.
An ad blocker on Safari.
But then I only use Safari for buying Apple Kit.
I use Safari for testing and then I clear the cache.
That's it. I have to have browsers dedicated. But that story's just horrific, isn't it?
Talking of clearing the cache, I had a problem at work a couple of months ago. So I contacted the help desk. And he says, can you clear your cache? And this was on Chrome. And I'm thinking, are you joking? I'll have to re-enter every password now and everything.
Oh, dear. No, I just think with that, that is just... She took them back to the shop. I mean, what would you do if that happened to you? I mean, as an adult, mind you, having said that, you can't see what's inside it, can you? You've got a Donoghue and Stevenson going on there. You're not going to know until you've bitten into it.
True.
Now, the child carried on eating. Obviously, the child didn't know. As an adult, you probably bite it, think, good grief, this is a bit chewy. Probably take it out of your mouth before you bit it because your teeth wouldn't go through it. She said it was like chewing gum, that it had all melted, which is good news. Hopefully, it's nuked anything. But I think you... I don't think as an adult you would have swallowed it where she had to scoop it out of the child's mouth. But what would you then do with it? What would you do in terms of going to want some recompense here?
Take it to the counter.
Well, I think she'd gone home, but yeah, she went back to McDonald's with it and their answer was, it's not cooked on the premises. You're selling it! I love the way it's just not our fault.
Mm.
They never, ever just accept. No, you definitely don't take it back to the store. No.
Take it to the police.
Not a police issue. Not a police issue at all. Do you not know who you'd go to?
Environmental health.
No, trading standards. Oh, now they are lethal. So head off straight to the council, to trading standards, and they'll deal with it.
Do you want a free Mackie D's for life, Kim? With the free masks.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened, Jonathan. When you read on, it says at the bottom, we've been put off McDonald's for life. And I'm literally sitting here, Mike's out with a dog, and I'm like, not all bad then. The last time we were forced to eat McDonald's, we literally had no option. We'd been running around like idiots, and we had to get to, it wasn't a funeral, was it? It was a wake thing, a memorial service, and we'd not eaten. There was one place on the way in, it was McDonald's. So we went in and we did actually get chicken McNuggets because it's pretty much all I could eat. Did we get anything else?
Don't think
The cheese something, stick thing.
Yeah.
I think Mike might have had fries, but I don't eat potatoes. So we just like, well, we'll have that. First off, we couldn't use the touchscreen, which, given that a week later there was a story about every touchscreen, that somebody had gone in and done like a test on the touchscreen of like 200 McDonald's and every one came back positive for feces. So I was very glad we hadn't done that. We couldn't get it to work. But we came out and he said, you're not going to believe it. I think there was two packets of McNuggets, two cheese sticks. I think, did we have an ice cream?
We might have. Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, but I think we went back for that because it would have melted. I'm trying to think what else was with it. It must have just been the fries.
Cheese that was more orange than the McBites logo.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, but we did go to Mackie D's when we were away, because there was one next to the hotel.
Yeah, but the only thing we bought then was ice cream.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to make a point about the food itself. I don't think there was more in it than those items. Two packets of McNuggets, two packets of cheese sticks, and one fries, and the bill was £24. Mike came back and said, pardon? Because we would go to Bramley Farm. We would have two carveries, which is as you get the meat on a plate and then as much everything else as you want, and a starter and the drinks, and the bill was something like £17. And this Mackie D's that was barely edible was £24. It was vile. Oh dear, oh dear. Me neither, Kim. I basically live on salad and high protein stuff, because most of the carbs I can't eat anyway. When you used to travel for work, you would dread if the only place to get breakfast was McDonald's. An egg and cheese wrap. Oh no. Springy and the egg was yuck and the cheese was more orange than the McBites logo. Not good. Don't they do something like, not a bagel, breakfast in a bun. Breakfast in a bun. And when you look at it, you know, there's actually a video on YouTube. I'll see if I can find it. It's to do with photography, food photography. And it's all the tricks and tips they use to make the food look amazing on the photos. And what somebody had done was they'd taken the photos that the pros had taken, and then they went and bought the food, and then they took some photos. And then they showed you the tricks that they'd used. And it was stuff like, instead of, because obviously under the hot studio lights, this food's not going to fare well. But it was tricks like spraying the lettuce with hairspray, fixing spray, so it didn't flop. Oh, it was vile. And then with the burger, they had the whole thing stacked up on like cocktail sticks with little shelves on, if you're with me. So they put the cocktail stick into the bottom of the bread, and then they put the next bit on top of a shelf, and then another shelf, and then the next bit of food and another shelf, and it stacked up to about, you know, 4 inches. And then you buy the one from McDonald's and it looks like a pancake. Totally puts me off. Food looks much nicer in the pictures. Well, when you see how they do the pictures, it's not surprising. It's amazing techniques. You know, if you want to take photos, maybe you've got like a channel on YouTube for recipes, but you couldn't eat the food. No, no, no. Same with Subway. They look amazing. And yet when I've got my Subway, it's like someone's thrown it over a hedge and sat on it. I must admit, Subway put me off more than McDonald's. You go in and like, there's like buckets of stuff that they just put on it. Probably because I haven't eaten bread for 30 odd years. But, you know, the bread looks rubbery and then they're shoving this stuff in it. And it, I know, no, puts me totally off. You've never eaten a chicken McNugget. You've never missed anything, Kim. It was literally a case of, look at the menu. Yeah, the only thing that's not going to poison me is a chicken McNugget. But clearly, I got the mask-free version, that poor child. Because the thing is, it might put the mother off for life. But at six, the child's going to get over that. I would love to know what happens to that in terms of McDonald's admission responsibility and stuff. I mean, you can't escape from that. She's not bought that anywhere else. One of the things would be, there was a thing locally, wasn't there, with the Chinese. And this Chinese said it wasn't from us. It was must have been another Chinese. But at least with McDonald's, you know, a chicken McNugget, you're not going to get that from anywhere else. But she should have gone straight to Trading Standards. They are incredibly keen on. In fact, if it hadn't have been a McDonald's, if that had been a local store, just like a local fish and chip shop or a local Chinese takeaway, they'd be closed down instantly by Trading Standards. So never go back to the store. They'll just give you like a voucher for a free one next week and take the stuff off you, the evidence off you. So no, don't take it back there. Hello, Mrs. Simon. We are talking about disgusting food and we are using the term food loosely. We are talking about McDonald's. You've turned out all right without them.
See you, Johnny. Enjoy your Mackie days.
Is there a McDonald's nearby, Jonathan? Went into a Subway once for a meatball sub. I had no idea they did meatball subs. Fell out the bun onto the counter and just put it back in the bun. Really? This is why I don't do takeaway. No, I have never gone. Many, many years ago, before I became gluten intolerant, I would have from Greg's. They used to do like a cheese thing. It was very flat. It wasn't really a pie. It was
cheese pasty.
It wasn't even a pasty. It was too flat for that. Looked like it had been ironed, but it tasted nice. I think it had cheese and onion in it, and it tasted nice. But I wouldn't eat it when I'm out. I would bring it back and put it on a plate with a knife and fork, like a civilized person. But I look at them now and I think, like, there's no way I could eat anything like that. And did you notice today? Kath and Kaz are on holiday down Exeter way. So they're going from town to town. I think they're in another bubble, aren't they, now? They've met up with Relly's.
I noticed that yesterday.
Yeah, I know. More bubbles than West Ham, as we say. But one of these photos was a true Cornish pasty. And I looked at it and I thought, now that actually looks nice. And what totally put me off it was in a paper bag. Which, of course, reminds me of Greg's.
Greg's, yeah.
So I can't do that. Greg's food is not food. No. I look at it and I think I'd rather have a salad. It's got that bad when you would rather have a salad than something like that. But it's not the first time there's been stuff inside stuff that shouldn't be there. But at the moment, it makes you wonder whether, given what it was. Mrs. Simon, if you weren't here at the beginning, we'll enlighten you. In fact, I'll put this link into... Where's the other link I've got? Let's put the link back in. There we go. That's what we're talking about. Given that it's a face mask, that's probably deliberate. Because however it's got in there, let's be honest, you're going to know if your face mask has fallen off. An earring maybe, a wedding ring maybe not. But a face mask? Be hard to miss that. So that looks like a deliberate thing to me, like a joke. That... whoever's done it, if it wasn't done on site, which they're saying it wasn't, that they're warmed on site, but they're not cooked on site, then they're probably thinking it would never be traced back. So that's why you need to take it to Trading Standards, because they're like Rottweilers on steroids. They would never let that go. That's their business. Think of like a VAT inspector on steroids, and that's the Trading Standards. But there's no point taking it back to McDonald's. No point whatsoever. And also at the moment, you know, it wouldn't be a good idea to take any compensation that they have on offer, because you don't know if the child's caught COVID by eating it. So a bit like me with my RAM, wait and see, I would give that at least 2 weeks before I'm prepared to talk to them about it. It's disgusting. And it's one of those things. It's a shame Jonathan's gone, because I could have mentioned another case that he'd know, St Anne's Dock. Something like that, if you took that back in store, which obviously she did, they'd be saying things like, how can you prove it was us? You can't prove it was us. But there's actually a presumption in English law that if you, as the complainant, so the person wronged, can't prove it. You don't have access to the sites to prove it. You've no idea of their working practices to prove it. There is a presumption in that case that they have to disprove it. They have to disprove it was them. So rights on this woman's side. She can't go wrong with this claim. She really can't. And I'm sure there would be a lot of compensation on offer for that. But you have to do it the right way. Don't go back into McDonald's and give them the evidence. That's not going to work. But I'd love to know what the outcome. There should be an investigation into that. It's either some absolute idiot or somebody's done it for a giggle. You know, and it was a clean mask. Not funny. I mean, what if somebody was blind? You're not going to be able to see that it's bright blue. In this case, it was a child. And you know, was she four or six? 6 year old. I think as a child, you might not know. It could just be a special limited edition one that's got blue in it. You don't know. You can't expect a child of six to say, oh, stop, mummy, there's a mask in it. It's just ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. That actually happened. A guy, a lawsuit will be forthcoming. Problem in this country, Kim, with something like that is unless you can get a solicitor to take it on a what you would call a pro bono basis, which would we would call no win, no fee, you're unlikely to get legal aid for it. So you'd have to be fairly wealthy to approach a solicitor. And solicitors in this country don't have a certain number of working hours that they have to provide pro bono. It's completely up to them. They don't have to do any pro bono if they don't want. So it could actually be quite difficult for her. Having said that, with what I know, just take them to the county court, which costs about £50 to issue. But you know, how many people know that? And another trick is, we have different levels of court over here, and you can issue from a higher court and then have it drop down to a lower one. And the reason that that matters is you get something dropping through your door that says this is, you know, summons to the county court. It looks like a letter from the bank. But if you issue out of the high court, it's all legalese that's arrived, wrapped up in brief ribbon, you know, in script from Dickens era. It looks terrifying. I'd do that. She can't lose. She literally can't lose. But it's a terrible, horrible thing to have happened anyway. And you know, do they take any notice? No, I don't think so. Hello, Simon. Some worker accidentally dropped into a vat and mix and was too worried to own up. It could be, but when you look at the fact of how the mask is inside it, so you can't see it from the outside. If they were being dunked in a vat, I don't see how an entire mask has got cooked into it. It does look highly suspicious to me. Possibly it is a police issue, but you know, they'd probably laugh at you. So I'd start with trading standards and work up from there. But I don't think that was an accident. I really don't. And there was a case, it was a guy who was trying to extort money from Sainsbury's and other supermarkets. And we do have a small claims court. That's a county court, Debbie. That's quite inexpensive. But the thing is, you have to be careful. You issue out of your local small claims court, your county court. And against somebody as big as McDonald's, the first thing they'll do is say, we want to move the case to London. And then, of course, your expenses are going to shoot up. The best thing, actually, McDonald's could do is just not turn up and get a judgment against them in absentia. And that way they can say they didn't lose. They can say they didn't lose because they didn't actually defend it. It's terrible anyway. It's all tactics and nothing to do with justice. I have no idea how you would lose your mask. That's what I'm saying. You would definitely know you'd lost it, wouldn't you? Inside a factory like that. One person wandering around without a mask. Yeah, so this guy was trying to blackmail the supermarkets, and what he was doing was poisoning the food. I know one type of food he went for. I'm not sure if it was in any more. But the food that he targeted was baby food. And the thing was, whatever poison he'd put in it, and it was poison, it was like a bleachy thing that would burn, whatever it was. But it absolutely reeked. It totally stank. So the idea was it would be in there and it was downright dangerous. But his logic was no one would get hurt because as soon as the parent opened the jar, they'd smell it and think, oh, good grief. And there's no way you would feed it to a child. So in his mind, it was a safe way of blackmail, if you're with me, which it's ridiculous, but you get the idea. So a couple of parents bought this stuff, takes it home, open it up, it's vile, and then they take it back and say this is vile, etc. So while this is going on, another mother picked up some jars of baby food and heads off home with them. She feeds the child, which was very young. It could sit up. I don't know at what age a child can sit up, but it must have been less than a year old. And she opens these jars. They're absolutely fine. But like on the third, fourth day, she opens this jar and the child is screaming as she's feeding, as she's like puts it in front of her in a bowl. And the child's trying to push it away. And the mother's like, come on, stop playing around. Now, why couldn't the mother smell it? Because clearly the child could. She'd had a sinus operation and she was full of bandages. She couldn't smell it. So, you know, even doing something like that, that's not safe blackmail, because you don't know what condition you'll find the person at the other end who's opening it. So, for instance, maybe in this example, you know, it's blue. Would you eat a blue McNugget? No. But if you're blind, how would you know it was there? In this case, it was a child. It could have been an older person, but with some kind of special need that didn't know. So if that's a joke, it's sick. It's really sick. Maybe the rest of the guy will turn up over the next few weeks. Do McDonald's do sausages? Just wondering. We did find over here, believe it or not, there was a finger involved in some, I think it was sweet and sour chicken. Somebody had lost a finger. And somebody who bought the sweet and sour chicken found it, as it were. Yes. I've heard about your Tylenol case in the 70s. It's on one of my true crime things. And they were saying that they cleared the shelves and then redesigned them because of that. And I don't know if it was that one or another one. Were the two cases fairly similar? One was Tylenol. I can't remember the name of the other one. And it was something to do with the cotton wool that they put in a bottle, and they said they don't need it, but people expected it, etc. And now everything has to be sealed. So it's just too scary, isn't it? It is, honestly. We do have pills that are sold here. They tend to be sold in one of two ways, either in a bottle with a plastic seal around the lid. So if you got inside it, this seal would be broken. It's like a plastic thing that goes all the way around it. And the other type is in a box. And then inside it, there's like push through strips of plastic. And each pill is covered with like a metal top. But, you know, I'm sure you could buy one of those and then tamper with it and take it back. And some people would notice, but I think there's other people who wouldn't. It's just that stuff like this once. I hope they find the person that did it. This makes me think about masks being numbered or identified in some kind of way. Which might sound like overkill, but obviously in these circumstances, we did that. When I was just finishing college, I got a job early in the morning, which to me was obviously late at night, doing papers. So I would be in the paper shop and I would put together collections of papers for the paper boys and girls to go and deliver. And actually, that was the second job I had. with the same guy. The first job I had with this guy, same principle, but all of the papers were the same. It was a paper, it was called AM Weekend, I think. And it was a new free paper, and we had to deliver like 3,000 of them. So I'd go and I'd pick up 3,000 papers, and then I would count out how many were needed for each person, and I'd drop those off at their door. And we had a problem, this was probably about 3 months into it, that a lady rang the shop and said, your paper deliverer has dumped 50 papers in my garden. And we were like, sorry, what? And because these papers were free, if people were paying for them, obviously they'd ring the store as soon as they didn't get a paper. But because it was a free paper, people weren't, but they didn't even know where it came from. You know, obviously they knew they could get in touch with the paper themselves, but they wouldn't know which local news agents was actually responsible for delivering them. But this woman happened to know. So she rings up and says, your deliverer's dumped 50 papers in the garden. So the guy goes out and picks them up and says to me, thing is, we don't know, because they're not paying, we don't know which 50 houses didn't get these papers. And clearly they'd done it before. So it was a case of, well, what do you do? How do you work out which one's not delivering the papers? So what we did was, I said, leave it to me. Because he said, you know, you can't stand there and mark 3,000 papers. So I said, no, but leave it to me. So I would get together like the 80 papers that someone was supposed to deliver. And I'd stack them up, one on top of the other. Then lean on them really heavily. And that gives you like the seam at the side where you can see the edge of the paper. And I got a Sharpie and I would put a code down it. So literally just like lines. So if it was round one, there'd be one line down. If it was round two, there'd be two lines down it and so forth, right up to like round 18. So I'm stood there at round 18. One, two, three. So I've got 18 lines on the side of these papers. So next week arrived. Yep, they got dumped. He got a phone call. He went to select them and I think collect them. And it was something like, you know, it was round 12 and he sacked him. But, you know, you can track these things and you can track it in a way that they don't know they're being tracked. Because if you think about a newspaper, often you will find like odd black lines of print that are put there during the print process. And that was how we tracked him down. So that's what needs to happen with these masks. Let's take it back to school where you have to sew your name into your mask. That will do. I'm not going to get fingerprints off it, obviously, but... Oh, what's this one? Watching a show on Netflix about a cult that wanted to take over the state of Oregon. They poisoned the salad bar at a few restaurants to see if they could make anyone sick. Oh, that's just bad. Bad. Was that where they'd got a girl involved or two girls? There was a case that I read up on and I couldn't tell you where it was, but there was a guy that had come over from like Syria or somewhere out that way. And he'd been corresponding with all these girls. They're probably about 16, 17 years of age. And because it would be too suspicious after 9/11 for a guy who looked like he looked to be meandering around to salad bars, he sent these girls in and it was poisoned. And actually the first time people died. The second time, it turned out there was some kind of device that he'd put in her bag and the idea was that he would blow her up. So it wasn't a cult per se, it was more of a terrorist thing. But again, and this is why I don't eat out. It's too scary. It really is. Apart from the fact that, you know, these places are barely hygienic. There's stuff like that going on. And whatever it was that they put in the salad... it was lethal. People literally just dropped where they stood. And I think they were bleeding from the nose. So it was a really bad poison, if you're with me. No blackmail safe. It wouldn't be blackmail. Otherwise, I know. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I will admit in the fact she'd had a sinus operation. But some people have a very weak sense of smell. Others are incredibly sensitive. But some have a weak sense of smell and might not notice. Oh, dear me. canary trap. I give out different information to different people. Oh, the Colleen one, you mean, Simon?
I was just going to say that was Colleen.
That was Colleen. And what's the other one's name?
Rebecca Vardy.
Colleen,
well,
and Rebecca.
I can't remember which one was the canary and which one was the...
Colleen was on the moral high ground and she said that the other one had sold stories to the Sun. That was how that went. But that's gone to court, so it's sub judice and we mustn't talk about it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it's in court right now. Oh, yes. I'm not sure what that is. I think it's a case of Rebecca Vardy suing Colleen for defamation.
I think it is.
But we'll see how that works. The staff in an office at Huddersfield University noticed that the coffee tasted funny, had a funny smell, set up a hidden camera to find the cleaner was peeing in the coffee maker. Oh, my God. Oh, that's just diabolical. He wasn't happy. They kept sticking paper over a window in the door. Oh, no. So Paul's got a weak sense of smell. I can't imagine myself having like no sense of smell. It's quite weird to me. Mine is incredibly heightened to the point of causing Mike grief at work. Do you remember that?
Yeah, with the car.
Mike got a business car, company car, and comes home with it. Beautiful car, huge thing. And we were probably driving around in it for a good few weeks, weren't we? And I said, "You filled up today?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I can smell it. You know, open the windows." It was to me, it was incredibly overpowering. But Mike could barely smell it. And I'd say Mike's probably got, I wouldn't say it was a weak sense of smell. I guess it could be. I don't know. But mine clearly 10 times heightened. Comes in next day. I said, "You're not filled up again." He said, "No." I said, "This car's got a leak. It must have." I said, "Because the fumes are really making me feel nauseous." So Mike's going, he said, "I can't smell a thing." And I said, "I'm telling you, it's got a leak." So he goes into work, and there was a guy that they employed whose full-time job was looking after the carpool. So Mike says to him, "Think the car's got a petrol leak, you know, something wrong with the tank." So the guy says, "Right, okay, you know, take it in." So he sends it in. They send it back, nothing wrong with it. No leak. So I said to Mike, "Oh, fair enough then." Gets outside to the car. I said, "I'm sorry, it's leaking. It's escaping somewhere." And, you know, that's probably about the most dangerous thing you could have wrong with a car, isn't it? If you're driving along the motorway at 70 miles an hour. So I'm sort of, "No, it's still there." Well, this car went back 4 times. And every time it came back and they were told nothing wrong with it, it's fine. And the guy, the carpool manager, was getting quite cranky with Mike. And it became like a battle of wills between me and the car manager, the guy I'd never met. He was, because Mike had said, "Well, you know, my girlfriend's saying it's got a bad smell." And the guy's saying, "Well, she's wrong. You know, she's mad." So when it came back for the 4th time, I said, "Right, fine. I've got no problem with that." I said, "Take it back to him." I said, "And tell him to stand next to it and strike a light. If he's that confident, stand next to the petrol tank and strike a light. Tell me how he feels about that." He came back the next day. He said he's booked it in at the main agent. So he gets to the main agent. Was it a Citroen or a Renault?
Citroen,
wasn't it?
Citroen.
So he sends it back to Citroen. And instead of them sending it back and saying there's nothing wrong with it, the car guy went in and he said, "And before you start," he said, "I don't know whether there's anything wrong with it or not, but if you're not prepared to stand next to it with a lit cig, then fix it." They fixed it. Came back and they said it was a known issue. I love that. A known issue.
Sounds like Apple.
I know. A known issue is where, you know, you're trying to make it bold and it's underlining it. It's not a known issue that the petrol tank's leaking. And it was something to do with a seal at the top. So what was escaping was like fumes. But fumes are flammable. It would have only taken somebody, you know, you being behind a car on the motorway, where somebody flicks a cigarette out and it just happens, you know, the wind's in the wrong direction and it ignites the fumes. And the smell was overbearing. I couldn't understand that Mike wasn't more affected by it, but I wouldn't let him drive anywhere in this car without the window wide open. It had a leak. But, you know, as a woman who doesn't even work at the place and I'm not a mechanic, how do you get them to believe you? But I just felt it was so important that I couldn't not. And I really do loathe getting to the point where I have to sort of say something like that. But I thought I need to create some kind of situation that he would understand, that if he really was as confident as he was saying, or at least he was getting so cranky about it, then in that case you won't mind standing next to it with a lit match, will you? But funnily enough, he did. And it got repaired.
We've had a known issue today.
Have we?
Not us at work. I'm just reading Paul's comment.
That's so true, Paul.
Yeah, we have. You may have heard of ServiceNow. It's like a platform. And we have an IT training website hosted on it. So what we have is we have a load of categories down the left-hand side, which is basically the applications. And when you click on an application, it gives you all the training courses in that application. And all it is basically a front end to a database. So we've got this section called miscellaneous. And in there is the Access Creator Database course, and there is the iPad course, and there is the Apple Mac course, and there is the Power BI course. Because when you set these courses
up... stuff you do.
Yeah, when you set these courses up, there's nowhere to put them.
Mm.
But it's easy enough to build a new category. So because I'm about to launch another two Power BI courses, I thought I want a new category. So I requested a new category, Power BI, to be created. So that now appears on the left. And I got these courses added to it. I then created an Apple category. I got the Apple Mac training moved to it. And then I requested that the iPad course got moved to it. And this request was approved and all dealt with. And the iPad training is still in the miscellaneous section. The Access training, which I wanted to move to the Office category, has totally disappeared. So it's not even stayed in miscellaneous. So that's just vanished into the ether. Although if you actually search the system for Access, it comes back with this Access Create a Database course. And if you look on the breadcrumbs at the top, instead of saying training miscellaneous Access, it just says training Access. So the record is still there, but it's not attached to a category. So I logged a ticket with the help desk and they came back and said, it's a defect.
Why don't they just tell the truth? We made up.
No, it is a defect. What they've done is they've logged into the back end and they've manually moved the courses to the right category. In other words, tinker with the database record relationship.
I hate it when I have to look back and think things worked better, you know, like 8 years ago, because think time should have moved on and things should be faster. And, you know, you sit here and they're not. That is so annoying. That's interesting, isn't it? It was very apparent he'd lost his taste of sense of taste and smell. Taste, I guess I could understand. I think I would know. I would definitely notice a loss of smell, but I don't know if you would. What are you hoping to smell now?
Wake up and smell the coffee.
No, don't do that. No. Somebody piddled on it. Mind you, if monkeys piddle on it, it's worth about £400 a grain.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, no, it wasn't piddling on it, was it? It was worse than that. Though the coffee beans that were really expensive, the monkeys had eaten them and they were collected at the other end. I mean, what? On what planet did somebody think, I know what I'll do with these coffee beans? I don't drink coffee
beans. I get chills. They're multiplying.
You get more than that if you add that.
And I'm no, I'm just reading what Kim says.
Right, let's have a look. What?
Kim's comment. Yes, that was my thinking, Kim, but I wasn't going to post it.
Oh, I do remember with Maya, this heightened sense of smell that I have. You know, Maya had an upset tummy, shall we say, one day. So he's in and out, in and out, in and out. Gets into the garden. He performs. And I must have been stood easy 15 metres away. And this wave came over me. I thought, oh, my God, what's he eating? And I'm like, I'll go and get a bag. And I could not get closer than about 8 metres. So every time I'm like, no, I'm going to be sick. I'm going to need two bags. One for me to be sick. I want to pick it up. And in the end, I thought,
leave it for me.
I'll leave it for Mike. He'll be fine.
You don't do poo, do you?
I don't do poo, no, because the smell is too overwhelming. Do you remember Razor Ruddock had the same thing?
Yeah.
He was a footballer in the UK.
Hard as nails.
Real hard man. Real hard man. You know, think mafioso, that hard. And he was on a programme. What was that? A wife swap. And he swapped places with somebody else, you know, wives. And he always let the wife clean the dog's stuff up from the yard. And this wife he'd swapped with said, you're doing it. And he really struggled. And he said, it's the smell. You know, it knocks me out before I even get anywhere near it. And he is stood there with these bags, the poor guy. And I said to Mike, that's me. That's how I feel. And he was literally being sick into one bag as he's using the other to pick it up. So having no smell is bad, but also being there's probably a word for it, hypersensitive,
probably.
Probably from the Latin for smell, I'd imagine. But being hypersensitive to smells is also bad. I mean, in the circumstances of I could smell the leak before the cars were recalled, yes, but there are times it's a pain, an absolute pain. Obviously, if you're out with Maya or you're out with Lola, you know, and they just perform, then it's up to you. You can't say, I'll go and get Mike. It's bad. It is bad. Oh dear. See, everybody with a dog would notice.
Or small kids in Paul's case.
Indeed, or small kids. You were able to hold your breath. It's an art form, isn't it, apparently? This is why kids never appealed. My abiding thought was, you've got to change nappies and stuff. What?
I've got to laugh at Nina. Mm. She can't pick up dog poo.
No.
But she changed two kids' nappies for years.
Yeah, and all the grandchildren.
That's true.
She's absolutely fine with all of that. And Chidge was actually like...
I thought you were saying Chidge.
No, not Chidge, no. No, Chidge looked after Grace when she was a baby.
Yeah.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they must be absolutely fine with it. But you know, mention dog poo to her and she's gone. No, I just can't. Just can't. Far too sensitive. But it can be useful. I'm a bit like a canary, not that kind of canary, but a canary that you would send down the mine, make sure everything was all right. You send me in and you're like, no, that petrol's tank's got a leak. That guy loathed me with a passion. But I think what was worse was I was proved right. Because if he'd have sent it to the main agent in the first place, they'd have probably said, yeah, it's an issue, a known issue. The petrol tank leaks, it's a known issue. That's critical. That's recallable.
Yeah.
In the UK, they recalled washing machines and dryers. Was it Hot Point?
Hot Point,
candy and something else. Yeah. And not just like... Yes. Not just like 1,000. No, they recalled something stupid like 28 million. You're like, pardon? All of them were a fire risk. And what was happening was they were just bursting into flames. So ours was one of these, but at the point that the recall things came in, it was the autumn where Mum was really ill. And she'd get a letter, and obviously I wasn't going to open her mail for her. So, you know, handing it to her, she's like, the washing machine, the dryer. And I said, I'll deal with it, Mum, I'll deal with it. And it went on and on, and they kept sending letters and stuff. Now, and ours is outside. We're not that worried. But these things can just set on fire. So I said to Mike, it's not worth it. The weight to, you know, you got onto them and you said, you know, they got a problem with this. And they said, right, you know, we'll sort it out. And they give you a date. So say it's the 1st of January. They give you a date of like November. And you're like, are you for real? So I said to Mike, it'd be quicker to just buy a new one. But what was actually happening with these things was it was something to do with the air vent. And it was getting clogged up with fluff off the clothes and then just setting on fire. And I said, well, does nobody empty it? Because I don't know how they work in the States, and there's about 5 different models in the UK. One that my mum had originally, you would pull out a circle at the front of it, and it was like a lint catcher, and you would clean it off and then pop it back in. Another one, you have to pull it off at the bottom. Other ones have them at the top, at the back. And I think what people are doing is they're having these washers and dryers plumbed into the kitchens. Now, I know in the States you don't tend to do that, do you? Could have been a Philips, Whirlpool, Simon. Honestly, there were so many that they recalled. But we, if you imagine, like Mike's mother had a fridge and freezer, and they were built into the kitchen. So when one broke, they both had to come out. And then the new ones that you buy, because the kitchen was done when they moved in, which was about 25 years ago, we'd gone from Imperial to Metric and they don't fit anymore. So then she had to take the door off to get them fitted in. But the washer and dryer is actually underneath the counter and there's no air. Now, when you buy something like a microwave, which obviously heats up, but I wouldn't say for a shorter time and to a lesser degree than a washing machine, it says don't put anything at the sides of it, don't put anything behind it, don't put anything on top of it. And yet they're plumbing in washing machines and dryers that are getting very hot, you know, like an 80 degree wash for hours. I'm not surprised they're setting on fire. So we just stuck ours in the garage and now we don't worry about the sound of them or anything else either. Oh, Debbie, I am so with you. Fur babies only, didn't want to clean diapers and other bodily fluids, no way. That's me. No, absolutely not. I don't know how people do that. No, I admire you greatly. Mike got, I don't know what this, the Clorox to sanitise the house. That sounds like that stuff you had. Do you remember the cleaning fluid for the bathroom? Something like Mr. Muscle bathroom cleaner.
Yeah.
And it says use in the open air, which was all very well, but Mike couldn't in the flat. Because the bathroom was in the middle of it, so it didn't have a window. Obviously, it had a door, but only into the flat. So opening the windows wouldn't have done much good. There was an extractor fan. So he starts cleaning with this stuff. Came over really strange, didn't you? Trying to breathe. Mm. So then he had to do it with a mask. Oh, dear me. Am I the network guru? I am. I do all of that, Paul. What's your question? Oh, I have a friend who's got sarcoidosis. He ended up in hospital. I think that was because he was a smoker as well, Kim. He'd been diagnosed with sarcoidosis and it was serious. Needed some kind of operation, but he was still smoking. So he's in the hospital having this operation, said he can't breathe. And he's going outside for a smoke.
Oh, is that what's that?
Oh, dear. What's his name?
Mark.
Mark. Crazy. He did give up smoking after that. Do you know what he did? That was actually quite clever if you think about it. He gave up smoking, and a lot of smokers say, you know, I want to do something with my hands. So you know those like toys that they've got? What were they called? Fidget spinners. He wanted to do something with his hands. To keep him occupied. And he came up with the genius solution. He started to learn sign language and he's now really into it and does like gigs doing sign language, which I thought was genius. Go ahead. Or DM me, Paul, or send me a mail. Whatever's easiest. Whatever is easiest. I think if you've got some kind of underlying problem, you're just incredibly aware, aren't you? And I don't understand people who aren't being careful for other people's sake. You know, I don't have an underlying condition. But if I'm not going out, Mike isn't going out, then we're two more people not causing a problem potentially for others. And this bubble business in the UK is just chaotic. How many bubbles you can be in. You can meet up with person one today and you can meet up with person two tomorrow. Really? So now person one is exposed to person two, surely. And you wonder why the R is rising. In fact, we've got another city in lockdown, Aberdeen in Scotland, which is, Kim knows Aberdeen, don't you? Pretty much go as far north as you can and turn right. Why Aberdeen? I said to Mike, I'm just incredibly thankful it's not a Scottish city that borders England, or we'd get the blame. But Aberdeen's probably about as far away from England as you can actually get. I can only assume, as Mike pointed out, it's a city, it's a port city. It's also the central hub for oil rig workers. And if they're going offshore and then it's breeding over there and then they're coming back and they're going to pubs and bars, that's probably where it's happening. Oh, Kim, that is a brilliant analogy. I put one on Facebook today, but yeah, that yours is better. Yours is better. Let me see if I can find the one that I put on Facebook, because I thought it was so true. It was about people wearing masks. In fact, it was about the people who don't want to wear masks. There it is. Let's grab that. And are you running? No, you're not. Let's get you running. And let's share that.
Oh, isn't that quality as good as Amazon?
I've no idea, but at least you've got the game on. Which was a darn good idea of mine, if I do say so myself, Mike. Wasn't it?
Yes.
The United have got a game on. Although the season's over, we're now off into European territory, aren't we?
Mm.
Do we still qualify for Europe now we've Brexited?
Yeah.
Oh, that's handy. Like the Eurovision Song Contest, you mean?
Yeah.
Imagine we pay for that. So it's on a weirdy channel. It's on BT Sport, which we don't get because that's a TV thing. But Mike's managed to get a month pass, so now he can see all of the games. Right. Yes, I've sent that. So it's a polite notice to anyone who says, why do I need to wear a mask if yours works? And then the comment underneath is, I cut the brakes on your car, but don't worry, the other cars have brakes. I love that one. But it's true. You know, people seem to believe that it's not a danger to meet friends. I said to Mike, it's a bit like they've got the mentality of the campaigns of the 60s and 70s, stranger danger, that the only danger is from strangers. But the thing is with this, it's not. It's not. And people aren't twigging that. I told your wife you're not going to deal with, can't get on to the Wi-Fi now. Oh dear, let's have a look. Yeah, I can sort that out, Paul. Yeah, I have got something, but we'll fit it in. We'll fit it in. Mesh part. Ah, my mesh. That's how the Velops work. But there is an alternative to the Velops now, which is the Amazon ones. Are they called Allo or something? Allo, something like that. They were reasonably inexpensive at one point, but I don't know if that was a special deal. Let's have a look. If I put Velop, they'll think, oh my, she wants some more. And then underneath they should have the others. No, come on, give me the alternative. Eero, that was it. Eero. Eero mesh Wi-Fi system, a 3-pack for £249. Which, to be honest, is...
That's what Paul said.
...reasonable price. They are actually now, quite surprisingly, the only ones, when Apple stopped making their network kit, the only ones they had in the store were the Linksys Velops. Not that we're paying Apple prices. I think there was 3 in a box for £400. Ridiculous. You can probably get them for about £229 now for 3. If you buy one on their own, they're £100. But even at £100, you know, they're £40 cheaper than an Airport Express. It's just when they sell them in a box of 3, you think like, really? And then the price starts going up. How about a launch Skype and call when I'm able? Right, I'll do that, Paul. Let's have a look. But after Amazon bought Eero, or however they're pronouncing it this week, Apple started selling them in the store. And I thought, is this an entente cordiale with Amazon? Because they don't normally put Amazon stuff in their stores, but they did that one. So I think anything like that would probably work reasonably. They're a similar price. They're just a bit smaller, those Eero ones. I mean, I went crazy with how many went in here. But I can't have the Wi-Fi not there, which is exactly what you're saying. Yeah, doing it right now so you don't have to mess with it later is a good idea. I would say with something like that, so 1,500 square foot going to roughly 4,000. Does this actually measure it? I think in the UK it measures it in terms of rooms. Oh no, one of these is covering 2,000 square foot. So you'd need at least two of those. But I'd go for a pack of three. One of them has to go near the router, obviously, the external internet connection. And then you've got two to strategically place. But when you look at the things on Amazon, if you go in and look at the pictures, make them a bit bigger, they do usually have one in there that gives you an indication. Let me have a look. Yep, it's a blue picture and it's showing you where they should be placed. So there's a house here. There's like, well, a representation of a house. They've got one downstairs and then one upstairs on the other side of the house. But on the third floor, they've got that bang above the one in the basement, you know, on the ground level. So the placement can be quite important. Let's see if mine's up. I've got one. I told you I had a problem with it. I moved it and I had to move it because I needed I moved the iMac to put the printer in, which meant that the Velop had to go on top of the printer, and that didn't work well. And the Velop stopped working. So the other day when we had all of that internet woe, that upset the Velops. So then all the Velops needed restarting. When we restarted them, it was amazing. The bedroom one came back on. So what we've done is we've actually moved it so it's away from the printer. So it's in terms of keeping it away from stuff that's interfering or solid walls or stuff like that. But I'm reckoning in the States you don't particularly have solid walls inside the house. Whereas we not only have brick walls, we have slate inside the brick walls. It's like living in a Faraday cage. You are concerned about the router configuration. Figure it'll be a quick chat, making me sure I understand what I need to do. No problem, no problem. You'll basically have two options. You can either make it, which is usually the default setup, where it provides Wi-Fi. And the other way is modem mode. Now, I don't put mine into modem mode, even though I use it as if it were. Modem mode means it doesn't provide Wi-Fi. It's purely a gateway to the internet. And all of your Wi-Fi comes from somewhere else, in my case, the Velops. And I've been recommended to turn it to modem mode since we got it in 2012. And I've never done it. Reason one, when you turn it to modem mode, it can take 4 hours to resettle. So you're without internet and you really don't know if it's coming back or not at that stage. The second reason is, if I want it in modem mode, in other words, I want it as a dumb access point to the internet, why don't I just turn the Wi-Fi off on the box? And that has exactly the same effect. But I went a different route than that. Mentally, to me, it is a dumb access point to the internet, but it has its own Wi-Fi. Not only does it have its own Wi-Fi, it has its own guest Wi-Fi while it's at it. The Velop provides Wi-Fi and the Velop has a guest network. So in essence, there's four wireless networks in the house. And if one isn't working, hopefully one of the others will be. And that's how I set it up like that. Synology, two mesh repeaters in the kitchen and bedroom. Yeah, it's the placement. It's basically to kind of have it in such a way that you stretch the signal out across the place. So I tend to put them in the furthest corner of the room, so it's basically a square that I'm working with. But it never hurts to have a couple of spares, as you well know from me and what I do. But when they're up, they're great. I was having way more problems with the Apple stuff. Way more. You do have your Virgin Router in modem mode. I just didn't bother. I didn't see the need. Because it would give me a backup wireless network. So the other day, when the wireless network went, the procedure to get it back would be like, turn off the main one, go around the house and turn off all of the others, go back and turn the main one on, and then go back and turn all the other ones on. You know, I can't do that if I'm in the middle of training and I'm trying to demonstrate an iPad, which now can't connect to the internet. So if I leave that Virgin wireless network there, never used, but leave it there, then, which was exactly what I did with Mike the other day, I'm literally falling asleep on my feet. I'm heading off to bed and I said, just go on the Virgin network, I'll sort it out later. And it's an instant switch, a total instant switch. So that's why I do it that way. But I think it depends on the Virgin router, to be honest.
I'm still connected to the Virgin router.
Well, you can connect to the other one now, it's fine. Okay. But probably not if you watch... Oh, no, you're watching the game on that one. What was I going to say? Modem mode. We had consumer for the first one, business for the second, and consumer for the third, and it was all to do with the speeds we could get. I don't think all the Virgin routers are made equal. So it really depends on that access point as well. I don't think the older ones worked well unless they were in modem mode. I did try putting it in modem mode once and it didn't work, so I left it alone after that. But everything hums along nicely with both of them. So it's just there and it's just there as a backup. And obviously the guest network, I've got a framed picture on the way in the house, which has the QR code. So anybody who comes in who wants to use the guest Wi-Fi just has to point the phone at it and that's it, they're done. I don't have to give them passwords or names or anything. So it works well. That works really well. How are they doing, Mike?
Not that anyone comes into the house during lockdown.
That's true. Yeah. Well, you know, if a burglar breaks in and they want to use the Wi-Fi, you got to point and press.
Or the Tesco man.
Or the Tesco man, if he wants. It wouldn't be the first time. It would not be the first time. But that's what I did with it anyway. But I will have a word with you, Paul. Absolutely. You can never have too many wireless networks, I find. Well, it's true, isn't it? There was a day the Wi-Fi was down. In fact, the whole internet was down. And you piggybacked on your phone. Which is what we would do. That's why we have 100 gig of data.
I've got 100 gig of data.
There's nobody's using in the minute. Why don't we take that down while we're in lockdown? Thing is, we can't in case we need it. But we both have 100 gig of data. I don't think I've even looked at
my
data.
I'm
just about to have a look.
Why would you take it down?
You want me to log it in? Well, yeah, I guess you wouldn't, but, you know, obviously at the minute...
I've got 98.44 left, and it renews next Wednesday.
Come on, I haven't even logged in yet. I haven't logged in such a long time, it wants me to log in properly. Not just the PIN and Face ID login. Right. Set a 4-digit PIN. It's still me, you know.
So I've used about a gig and a half, but I have been out. I'm taking the dog for a walk using the iPhone.
Yeah, we won't do that. I've got 99.94 left.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So, where have you used it?
That'll have been the other night when the internet went.
Yeah.
Won't it? Can't you somewhere in here, it says latest bill, but can't you see your bills from a few weeks back?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it breaks it down now.
Would it actually show you that? Customise your profile with an image. Oh, here you go. Now, payment and billing address. Well, obviously, I'm not moving at the minute. Payments. Are you were billed on? I thought you could see your last six bills, but apparently not. They've updated the thing and improved it. Never work again. Seriously, probably. There's not much in there, is there?
No.
Good news, you can upgrade today.
Yeah, every time I look at that, there's nothing to upgrade to.
No, no, because that's not... We're not with them for the phone, are we?
No.
No, you can't... Ah, hang on, view and compare bills. What's that? Oh, there you go. Right, what you were billed and when you were billed it. Yes, but can I see the details? apparently I can't. Oh, well, never mind. I love it when they improve it and now I can see less than I could see before. I used to be able to compare bills for the last 6 months and that's totally gone. I can now see what I've paid last month and what they want off me this month and that's it. So, another fabulous improvement. Doubtless with some known issues thrown in for good measure.
That could be the title of tonight's show.
Not known issues.
Known issues.
With insanity thrown in for good measure.
Or poo pickers.
That's a good one. Hold your nose.
That's a good one.
Costco has SanDisk 1 TB. Ooh. Let's have a look at those. Probably ours doesn't. I have, however, just had the renewal for Costco, which, considering we've not been there in 6 months. Mind you, we can use stuff on the website and they could deliver, couldn't they? Like everywhere else. Right, let's have a look at those. Can I even see them? Oh, that's the one I've got. How much is that? That's a good price. That is a very good price. In fact, it's not quite the same as I've got. It looks like it, but mine's got an orange trim on it. I don't know if that means something different or whether that's a newer style. But mine's got an orange trim. But they're very, very good drives. They're very fast. Cable works brilliant. And have you noticed? What does that look like? She's hiking. Just saying. It's a disguised lady pipe. Loving that. I like comparing the bills as well. I pretty much spend around £20 a month for all the data that I've got. Obviously, at the moment, it's more for backup than anything else. You went to Costco and they had a guy with samples. Who's lifting the mask to try something new? That's ridiculous, isn't it? It's like these that are wearing the mask under their nose. You know, it's not going to do you any good. But people just don't seem to get it. I despair. I despair of people. I want that mask with the people on it. Only I want an addendum. People. P.S. Does not apply to MacBiters. I just thought the mask was so cute. And I thought the little dog had a face like Kiva. Kiva's got a lovely face. Now, I would very much like to compare my bills, but it does not look like that is happening anytime soon. So we'll have to see what's going on with that. Got to love it when they improve stuff. Anyway, let's head off. What's tomorrow? Oh, Thursday, not Friday. I've totally lost track of days. Mike said, I said something about tomorrow, meaning Wednesday, and he said tomorrow's Thursday, and I said I haven't been to bed yet, so actually today's still Tuesday for me, at which point he rolled his eyes and said, whatever, just put it on the calendar. 6 o'clock this morning was Tuesday, Mike. Get with it. Right, so I'm going to head off and I'm going to be talking to Paul very shortly. But other than that, it'll be tomorrow. So for the moment, it is good night from me.
It's good night from me.
We'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.